Morning, turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 7 through 9. That will be our text this morning as we go through this series. John chapter 10, verses 7 through 9. Jesus said, "I am the door." Now, to come in this place this morning, you needed a door, didn't you? If you didn't have a door, you couldn't get in. And you couldn't get out. Now, there's an idea. But let's talk about the Word. Let's read the Word this morning. So stand with me as we read the Word of God together. John chapter 10, verses 7, or John chapter 10, verses 7 through 9. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Father, let's take this time with you to learn your word, to learn what it means for us and how to apply it, and Father, to envision in our heart what you being the door really means to us. So Heavenly Father, I just give you this time. I give you the words, may they be yours, for our encouragement, our challenge this morning, our exhortation, but Father, that you would sharpen us and help us, Lord God, to be better and different than when we came in this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. We're going to talk about three different things about Jesus as he says, "I am the door." Number one, he is the door of salvation. Number two, he is the door of safety. Number three, he's the door of satisfaction. And first of all, the door of salvation. And like I said before in the introduction, if you wouldn't have had a door, you couldn't have gotten in this place. There has to be a door to have access. A door gives you access to things you wouldn't normally have. If you built a great house, a fantastic house, but didn't provide a door to go in, no one would enjoy, and you wouldn't be able to enjoy your house. Jesus has much for us to discover, but we have to realize that in order to access those things, we must go through him. There is no other door. There's no other way to get what God wants for us other than going through Jesus Christ. He is our access point. And for you techies out there that use the internet, that have been programming and know about Wi-Fi, he is our gateway, if that makes sense to you. He's our gateway. He's our default gateway. He's the IP address to get to God. And so for us today, we have to realize that if you put any other address in, you're not going to get to the Father. You have to get there through Jesus. He is your access. He is your door. And I love the symbolism and the parallelism from the book of Genesis. And in chapter 6 and chapter 7, it goes through the whole story of Noah and how Noah was challenged by God after God saw all the wickedness of men, that he provided access for salvation for Noah. And if we pick up that portion of Scripture in Genesis chapter 7, verses 15 and 16, it says this, "And they," being Noah and his family, "went into the ark they came into the ark two by two, and all flesh that had the breath of life, so that all entered, male and female of the flesh went in as God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." The animals came to Noah. Noah was an antitype of Christ. He was the only way to be saved. And if they were going to be saved from the flood, the animals and the people had to come in through the door that Noah provided in the ark. It's a great parallel, isn't it? The only way that we can be saved is the door that God provided through Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we can be saved. It's the only way that we can know salvation and know who God is and be saved from what happens in this world and for eternity is to come through the door. So even in Genesis, Noah being an antitype of Christ, being the salvation for mankind and the purity of the bloodline, he provided a way, an access point for men to be saved, and so did Jesus. And so, Brandon, you want to bring up the picture of the sheepfold. I've used this picture before. And I want to give you an idea of what a sheepfold looks like, because I'm going to read this portion of Scripture from John chapter 1. You don't have to bring that up. Just leave the picture up, if you would, please. "Most assuredly I say to you," this is John chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, "he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." And I want to point out to you that in order to get into the sheepfold, into this cave where the sheep are kept, Somebody had to climb in another way. Did you ever envision that in your mind when you saw that verse? That climbing in another way? You think, I thought for years that all it was a great big pasture with fence around it, and it was easy for somebody just to jump over the fence. But that wasn't a sheepfold. That wasn't what Jesus was referring to. This is the sheepfolds they have in Israel. They are rocks that are built over the mouth of a cave for security for the sheep, for safety for the sheep. And the only way to get in is the door. And the Bible says that he who comes in any other way is a thief and a robber. But the one who comes in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Jesus is the door. He's the only good way into the sheepfold. You can climb up another way, but it's harrowing, and there's rocks stacked everywhere, and certainly you might get hurt going in and over the rocks, but to come in by the door is the only place to safely enter. And when we want to enter into a relationship with God and our Heavenly Father, Jesus is the only way to safely enter that relationship. And I think it's interesting in our text this morning, it says that when we go through the door and we go into the sheepfold, we have security. And that's the second point of our message today, is that we find security in Jesus as the door of the sheep. Not only does he provide access into the sheepfold, access so we can come in and go out and find pasture and find rest, but he provides security for us. In Psalm chapter 61, verse 3, it says this, "For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy." Psalm 144:2 says this, "My loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me." And in Proverbs 18:10 says this, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run to it and are safe." So we can go back to the scripture you want to, Brandon, and we'll go back to what the Word of God says. But remember that God is not only a place of access, or Jesus isn't only a place of access, he's a place of security for us. Once we enter that sheepfold, once we enter that place, he becomes our security, he becomes our protection, he becomes our strong tower. And I know that each of us in our walk with Christ will at one time or another have to run to Jesus Christ. If you have never run to Christ for safety, if you've never run to him for protection or for security, it's about time you did. Because there's much in this world that can take away our security, much that can take away our peace and our safety, but Jesus came to be our security. He came to be our high tower. And I envision in my mind this big, great big tower that's a fortress that has no way in but one door, and that's Jesus Christ, to get into that high tower of God, that place of safety, that place of refuge. David knew what that was like when he wrote Psalm 23. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We'll get into that in just a minute. "But he makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside the still waters, he restores my soul." And it says later on in that psalm that he fears no evil, for God is with him. He knows his place of security with the Father. Jesus provides that security. Jesus is our great protector. He's the one that protects us when we need help. He's the one that watches over us. He's the one whose eyes look for ways to be mighty in our behalf, and he looks for ways to love on us. It says in Proverbs chapter 8, if you read it today in your Proverbs for your day, you found out that this verse in Proverbs 8 says this, "I delighted in the sons of men." This is talking about wisdom, who personifies Jesus. "I delighted in the sons of men." He looks for ways to show himself loving to you because he delights in you. And if we go into the Bible and we look at Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, we see the compassion of Jesus as a protective Savior. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are being sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." We look at Jesus as the great protector, and he cries from the top of the hill overlooking the city of Jerusalem, and he weeps over the city because he wanted so much to be their protector, but they were not willing that he should protect them. They were obstinate, they were strong-willed, they were rebellious, and they said, we don't want you to protect us, we don't need you to protect us, but they had no idea who they were rejecting. They were rejecting the one that created them. They're rejecting the one who brought them into this world, and Jesus says, if you just let me, I'll protect you. But how often do we get to a point where we see God doing something marvelous and we want to be part of it, but we need God's protection, we need His blessing and His anointing, and we don't cry out to God for His protection. We say, Lord, I'm grateful that you give me an opportunity to do this, but I'm going to do this thing with your strength. But God says, no, run back to me first because you need protection from this thing. Jesus wants to protect you. He wants to look over you, He wants to watch over you, and He wants to go with you through this battle. And He wants to be with you every step of the way. He doesn't want you to have to do this alone and to do it without Him. Matthew chapter 11 says this, come unto me. Come unto me. Hear the words of Jesus in your heart this morning as He says to you, come unto me. It doesn't matter how long or how shortly you serve Christ. He calls out to you today, come unto me. All ye who are weak and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, in order to find Jesus as our security and safety, we also find out that He gives us a better way to live through this life if we allow Him to be part of it. Jesus wants to love on you. He wants to love you. He wants to protect you. He wants to take care of you. He wants to provide for your needs and to provide for your security, for your safety. All you have to do is go to Him. Go to Him. Come unto me, all you are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thirdly, Jesus is the door of our satisfaction. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm not satisfied in this life. Anybody here satisfied? Now, there's a great balance in there when the Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. I can be content knowing that God understands where I'm at, but I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied with the evil of this age. I'm not satisfied with the wickedness that's pervasive in this place that we live. I'm not satisfied with the way people treat other people, for the way they blaspheme God, for the way that they ridicule Christianity, for the way that they call us weak and cowardly, that we need a crutch of Christianity to survive. I don't like the fact, I'm not satisfied with the fact that they've tried to quench and to relinquish our control, even over our own lives and our own beliefs. If the world had it their way, there would be no Christianity at all. If the world had it its own way, we would not be satisfied, we would not exist, just like they're trying over centuries to kill Israel. Today there's a fight for the Christian life and to disarm it, to disempower it, to take us out as a part of society. And you may need to fight for your Christianity at some point. And if you don't fight for your Christianity, where does your faith lie? There may be a day when this world asks you to defend yourself. And like Peter, we have two choices. Either we accept who we follow or we deny Him. But one thing I do know is that when I accept the call by Jesus Christ to follow Him and I'm completely sold out for Him, He gives me satisfaction, not of this world. Even though I'm in this world, I'm not of it. And Jesus provides satisfaction for me because I don't have to go by the world's rules. I go by His rules. For there's one greater within me than he that's in the world. So for Jesus today, He gives us this want of satisfaction through Him that can't come from anybody else. It says that He satisfies our souls. That's what the Word says. He satisfies our souls. He might not satisfy your flesh. How many of you need Jesus to work something out in your body physically this morning? He may not work out everything in your flesh, but one thing I'll tell you, even in the shortcomings of our flesh, Jesus still satisfies our souls. Then we begin to understand this flesh tent that we live in is just a temporary housing for us. It's transient housing. Like the old hymn says, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden door, and I can't wait. I just know this world is not my home anymore. I can't feel at home here. Why? Because this body we live in, this place that we live in, our shell, is a transient place for us until we meet our Maker. And I'll tell you something. Sometimes we may feel like we need God to do something here, but what He really gives us and what He really wants us to have is satisfaction down here. You know, when David, when Absalom was trying to abdicate his throne, actually he did force David to fall off from his throne, and he took his throne, and people were fighting against him, people were warring, people wanted to kill him. It says that David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And God became David's satisfaction. He had no satisfaction anywhere else. Think about the story of Job. Job lost everything, except for the one thing he probably could have done without, and that was his wife. You know, because she was about curse God and die, Job. You know, why are you hanging on to this frail thread of righteousness? But he lost everything else, and who else was going to strengthen him but his Lord, his God? He knew his Redeemer lived. And there's a great verse in Job, and I don't know that if push came to shove, I'd like to say that, yes, I can live this one out, that Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Lord, don't ever put it to me that I have to test that way, but Lord, if you do, make me strong enough in my heart to say, yes, I will trust you even though you slay me. Job had this sold-out attitude for God that I believe will come again in our day, that we'll have to be sold out for God in order to be separate from the world. Many of you, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but there was an Assemblies of God church down in Texas that accepted the homosexual agenda. And that church has since been disassociated from the Assemblies of God. They no longer belong to our fellowship. But I'll tell you something, that Satan would get his hands into the very elect if he could. Satan would want to infiltrate our church to make it about us, to make it about what we want. But it's never been about what we want. The church body and the fellowship as the body of Christ was all about what he wants. It's never been about what we want. But what has happened is the world is coming in and saying, you want satisfaction in this life? If you accept these things, you can be accepted, you can have satisfaction, you can have people attending your church that wouldn't normally attend, and it sounds really good as the carrot is baited in front, but we have no idea what lies behind. And the slippery slope to sin that follows those temptations. Bringing it down to a personal level this morning for you and for me today, we can choose what we want to do. We can choose what we want to believe in, how we want to believe in it. But we can't choose is the consequences of that decision. If you choose to be sold out for Jesus Christ, I guarantee you there are things put in place for you that are beyond your control, that are blessings for you that God has in store for you, and He wants to provide ultimate satisfaction for you. Greater than you can comprehend. Greater than can enter your mind. But if you choose decisions that don't involve God's sovereignty in your life, you have that free will to choose those things. But you cannot choose the consequences of those things. There are many people that have heard the truth about the gospel and about what Jesus wants for their life, and they've said, when the time is right, I'll accept you, Lord, and I'll follow you. When the time is right, I'll turn my life over to you, and I'll be dedicated and committed unto you. When the time is right, and I've lived the life I want to live, when I've used up all the friendships that I think I need, and I've had all the money I want and all the things I want, then I'll follow you. And Jesus says, by the time that comes, it's going to be too late. Time will be up. Because the eyes of man are never satisfied. That's written in Proverbs by a very wise man. Who? Solomon wrote that. Here was a man who had hundreds of wives, hundreds of concubines. He had all the riches and all the wisdom he could ever want or ask for from God, and yet he was not satisfied. But we need to turn that want and that yearning into wanting more of God, not of the things of this world. Because in Jesus comes satisfaction. In John chapter 10, verse 10, a very familiar portion of Scripture tells us this, that the Satan, that the devil, the enemy, he comes in to steal, to kill, and destroy. But it says Jesus has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That we might have his life in us. Not life that we get on our own, not life that we deserve, not life that we earn, but life that he gives us because he loves us, an abundant life and a satisfaction in us that can't be bought with this world's goods. I think about the rich young ruler and how he came to Jesus. He had done everything the law asked him to do. He had said every prayer. He had obeyed every commandment. He had tithed. He had done all the sacrificial things the law required. And yet he found himself wanting more. Is this all there is? Jesus said to him, there's one more thing you lack. Sell all that stuff and follow me. You see, we can choose what we want to have in this life, but we may not be able to choose where it leads us. One thing I do know for sure is when you choose Jesus over the things of this world, he will lead you in a place that is better than anything this world can offer. Amen? This world can't offer what Jesus does. He can't offer peace. He can't offer true joy. He can't offer fulfillment. He can't offer satisfaction and a wellness and a wholeness that Jesus offers. He does that because he's the door of satisfaction. In John chapter 14, Jesus said this, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now we know there's a litmus test there. It's about the things that we desire or want or whatever God's will for us. But when we know God's will for our life and we ask him for those things, Jesus said, I will do it. Many of you in this place have asked for God's strength at one time or another in your life. Maybe you've asked for God's peace in your life. Maybe you've even asked for God's joy in the midst of circumstances in this life. And I'll tell you that every time we go to God with those requests, Jesus does it. I am here to tell you that God has been faithful to me, even when I haven't been as faithful as I thought I should have been. Maybe God had every opportunity to grab me by the scruff of the neck and take me out to the woodshed and give me the rod of comfort. But Jesus is more merciful and more compassionate than that, and he gives me the things I know I need. You see, Jesus is the door of a satisfied life. He is a door of satisfaction that comes from within, not as the world gives, but as he alone does. Will you allow him to do that for you today? As we get ready to close this morning, let's kind of summarize what we've talked about as far as Jesus being the door. And certainly we could spend another hour or two talking about the different facets of him being a door in our life, the access into the spiritual gifts. He was the one that brought the Holy Spirit back to earth. But today, Jesus is the door of salvation, the access to the Father. He's the door of safety. He's access to a secure place and the tower of God. And thirdly, he's the door of satisfaction. He gives us access to the riches and the bountiful blessings that the Father has for all that trust him. Jesus is those things. He wasn't just was those things, will be those things, but he is those things. He is an ever-present help in the time of need, and he will be there for you today. And he's the door for whatever you need in your life. If you need strength to overcome something that's got control over you, Jesus is the access point to be able to get control over that thing. If you feel like your life has gotten rugged around you and you can't find your way out, Jesus is your access to happiness and joy and fulfillment. If you're facing a struggle this morning, and I'll tell you something, that struggles don't necessarily belong to a Christian. Trials may. But if we struggle against something, it means that I've got some take and some ownership in it. If the very first thing I did with my trials, give it over to God and let him take care of it, I find out that my part's pretty easy. Isn't that right? But Jesus comes to be our salvation, our protector, and our satisfaction. And he does it because he loves us. He does it because he cares about us. He does it because he would like nothing more than for you to be the happiest on earth that you ever could be, but you need to go through him. How long will you resist and not let Jesus have access? As you get ready to close, I'd like to bring a picture up in your mind. It's the picture you've probably all seen hanging on some wall, someplace. It's a picture of Jesus knocking at the door of the heart. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone answers the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me." Right? You know what's interesting about that picture? There's no latch on the outside. The access and the right to come in belongs to you. Jesus waits for you. He waits for you. He's patient to wait for you. And he says, "As I knock, will you answer the door? And then let me be the door to all that God has for you." Do you need salvation today? Do you need to get saved today? Jesus offers it for you. Do you need safety from the circumstances and the trials of life? Jesus offers it for you. Do you need satisfaction in this life and a joy that can't be bought, can't be earned? A joy unspeakable and full of glory? A peace that passes your understanding? Jesus offers it for you. The only prerequisite that you have to do is, first of all, listen to his knock at the door of your heart and say, "Jesus, come on in. Let's settle this thing together." Every head bowed, every eye closed.